This is Emily Andelman. I'm with Marion Levant. We are at the home of Helen Spirer, and this is the National Council of Jewish Women project number 2, or maybe it's 3. And this is December the 3rd, 1986. What's your address, Mrs. Spirer?
1109 North Highland Avenue.
Thank you. You are going good. I wanted to start out by asking you today about B'nai Israel when you were growing up. Tell me kind of people that belonged, what the services were like that you went to.
Well, B'nai Israel, as you know, is a conservative synagogue. Mm-hmm. And when we moved to East End, East Liberty, now it's fancy Highland Park, my mother and father insisted that we have a good Jewish education, and
okay, come sit a little closer.
Okay.
All right. So you were saying that your mother and father insisted on you having good Jewish education.
They wanted us to have a Jewish education, so we belonged to B'nai Israel, which was a conservative synagogue. My mother, though she worked all the time, was active in the sisterhood, but her main thing was cooking. And so anytime they had anything, my mother would be up there cooking and baking. And we went to Sunday school, but we did not go to Hebrew school. My mother had a tutor that we started in the north side for my brother to prepare him for his bar mitzvah.
Mm-hmm.
And we both balked at the tutor. And when we came to East End, I don't know why we didn't go to Hebrew school, but we didn't. And my mother had a tutor for my brother and for me. Now, I have one sister who's 4 years younger than I am, and she did not get any Hebrew training.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a sister 10 and a half years younger than me, and she didn't get any Hebrew training. So it was just my brother and me. And we went to services every Saturday morning, and every Saturday they had an oneg afterwards. And it's a different kind of oneg than they have now.
Yeah.
We used to sit around a table, and we used to sing songs, Hebrew songs, and, you know, English and what have you. And the people were wonderful. It was a very wonderful group of people who were there.
Who were
Max Azen was a past president of the shul, and we were friendly. It was a friendly kind of thing. Max Azen.
Okay, how do you spell Azen?
A-Z-E-N.
Okay.
That's from the Max Azen Furs. I don't think they're in existence now. There was Shineman. Can't think of what his... I.L. Shineman. They were in the rag business, and he was a past president, and Mrs. Barnetta Davis, of course, was sisterhood president for about 50 years, you know, one of those things. It was just the Giffens. They were just a wonderful group of people, and we were friendly, and whenever there was any kind of an occasion, my mother would invite all the people from the shul, you know,
mm-hmm.
to our house. And that's where I grew up, and I was confirmed, and after that I taught Sunday school and went on from there.
Were girls not welcome in the Hebrew school, do you think?
No, I don't think girls went. There were no bat mitzvahs at that time.
Mm-hmm.
But my brother didn't go either, so I'm not accusing that,
mm-hmm.
you know. I just don't know. I don't know whether there were any girls in the Hebrew school or not. Probably not, because, as I say, there were no bat mitzvahs, and they didn't think of the education of the girls.
Who was the rabbi at the time?
Rabbi Lichter, Benjamin Lichter,
L-I-C-H-T-E-R.
He was a single man, and they called him Marrying Sam. I think in my generation, the generation before me, and the generation after me, I think everybody was married by Rabbi Lichter, no matter what.
And were services about the same as they would be today?
Yeah, we had the cantor there. The cousin was Cousin Bloom, who was just wonderful. And I don't remember his first name. But when he died, Cantor Heiser came. And Cantor Heiser is still there.
Do you know how to spell Heiser?
H-E-I-S-E-R. And I think as he gets older, his voice gets better. Hmm. And while I do not belong to the congregation B'nai Israel now, I belong to Temple Sinai. I do belong to B'nai Israel Sisterhood. I do that in respect for my family. Mm-hmm. And I do support them and go to many of their functions, like Sisterhood Donor. And and it's very funny. When I have yahrzeit for my mother or father, I go to B'nai Israel, and my brother. I go to B'nai Israel, I don't go to Sinai. I go to Sinai too, but Sinai's observance, excuse me, is different because we observe the English date of the death at Temple Sinai. Mm-hmm. And they always have, I get my notice for the Friday after the date of death. Mm-hmm. You know, so for instance, if my husband died on, let's say today, December 3rd, my yahrzeit period would be December 5th. Mm-hmm. And but it's the Jewish date at B'nai Israel, and I observe there, and I go to Yisker services at both places, ambidextrous or something. And I have, like, my husband died, I have a plaque for him at B'nai Israel, and I have a plaque for him at Temple Sinai.
Hedging all your bets, right?
What?
You're hedging all your bets.
Yeah. Not taking any chances, yeah.
What were Jewish observances like in your home when you were growing up? Was your home kosher?
No. Our home was kosher style. I think my mother did have a kosher home. And then when she started to work and we had help in the house, everything got mixed up anyway. Mm-hmm. And my mother always said, really, God doesn't care what you put in your stomach. He only cares what comes out of your heart. And that's the way I grew up. And she always said to us, when you're in Rome, you do as the Romans do. She said, I can't have ham or bacon in my house because I wouldn't even know what to do with it. But when you grow up and you get married, and you have ham and bacon in your house and you invite me, I'll eat it. I don't think she ever would, but we never did, so we had no cause to. But I'm not kosher. I'm kosher style here. And my sister lives upstairs and she's very kosher.
Hmm.
So Passover, we always have the Seder upstairs because they won't eat in my house during Passover because I don't change my dishes. But I don't have any bread. You know, I follow the same procedures, but I don't change everything. And I consider myself a very good Jew, and I consider myself an observant Jew. I like to Friday night candles, and if I'm not too tired Friday night, I go to services Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
It just depends on what time the kids go home. And I get the dishes in the dishwasher, but
yeah.
I like to go. I really do.
What kind of things did the Jewish community do when you were young? You said that you would get together for functions with people from
What kind social of functions? But B'nai Israel had many extracurricular activities, and we would go. They had dancing school there on Sunday. Mamie Barth taught it,
mm-hmm.
and we went to dancing school, and they would have kermesses, and they had choirs, and I don't know, but I'm talking about anniversary, birthday, mm-hmm. that kind of celebration. And Rabbi Lifter, we lived on Hess Avenue, that's mm-hmm. H-E-T-H-S, and that's not too far from here. It's a little street off Stanton Avenue, and Rabbi Lifter lived on Jackson Street.
Mm-hmm.
So he would pass our house every day when he went to shul and when we came home, and very often he would stop in. We had a very warm, close feeling with the rabbi. And I don't know, they had all kinds of bazaars, and they had, well, I speak of food festivals because that's what we have at Sinai, but in those days they would have dinners, and, you know, my mother was always there cooking.
Did your mother cook before your family opened a restaurant?
I don't know, because I came when I was 4 years old, and my mother was cooking, and my mother taught the cooks how to cook.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say she is, instinctively she knew how.
Let's talk about the restaurant for a minute.
Okay.
Your mother did the cooking and managed the kitchen.
Uh-huh.
And your father was out front with the
He was out customers. Front with the customers, and we had a delicatessen counter.
Mm-hmm.
And so he would cut the corned beef, cut the tongue, and cut the roast beef for the sandwiches. And he would serve the liquor from the bar, and he would seat the people.
Mm-hmm.
And it was especially when we went to the Temple restaurant downtown. There were two doors to the kitchen from the restaurant, an in and an out.
Mm-hmm.
And on these doors were little windows that you could, you know, my mother could come and look out, see what's going on out front. And she would be busy, you know, in the kitchen. And they would sit down to eat their dinner. My mother and father, they would sit down to eat about 9 o'clock when things were slow. They were open till about 11. And as they sat down and ate, they would talk about the customers that came in.
Mm-hmm.
You know that customer that sat at Marie's table that ordered the goulash? And they had a kind of connected way. They knew all the customers. And my mother would look out the window and see a family come in. She would tell the waitress, take out this stuffed cabbage, because he likes stuffed cabbage. Give him one to start with, you know. And they would discuss all the customers. As a result of that, the waitresses, my mother, I think I told you at the last session, was like a Molly Goldberg.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody came to her with everything, the salesmen, the waitresses, everybody. And the waitresses would come in and complain about some of the customers, that he only left a quarter or he left a dime. Of course, tipping wasn't the same as it is now. As a result of that, I have become an over-tipper. I'm very aware of it. I try to stop myself, and I just can't. Somebody will say, 75 cents is enough, and I'll put a dollar down. And when my husband lived, it was terrible. He used to get so angry with me because we'd have a good dinner, and I'd say, we had a good waiter. He was very good. You take care of him. He would just smile at me. And then the bill would come, and I would say, how much did you leave him? And he would say, I left him enough, but how much did you leave him? I was always looking at the bill because I wanted to make sure that they were over tipped.
How many waitresses were there at the restaurant at one time?
I would say about six, maybe seven, you know.
Mm-hmm. About how many tables were there?
Oh, the big table up front and the big table in the back, over in the side. Let's see. See if I can picture the restaurant. Oh, I don't know. I really don't know. I would say at least 20. Yeah.
When did the family go to the Temple restaurant?
Well, let's see. We moved here when I was 4, and that had to be in 1918, and they were downtown about on the hill,
mm-hmm.
at the first Klein restaurant about 2 years,
mm-hmm.
and then they went to Penn Avenue.
What happened during Prohibition? Do you remember if there's any liquor served under the table or anything?
Oh, no. My father wouldn't do anything like that. No. No.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about your schooling. What was your elementary school?
I went to Fulton School, which is right around the corner, mm-hmm. and I'm so angry because my kids, my son and daughter-in-law and children live on King Avenue, which is a little further than the school than I live. I live right around the corner. And I thought that Molly would go to Fulton School too. My kids went to Fulton School. I went to Fulton School. But he stood in line to get her into a magnet, so she's going to go to Liberty. But anyway, I went to Fulton School, and I wasn't a real good student, I guess. I don't know. I don't remember. The only subject I remember was geography, and I was terrible in geography. And I remember once the teacher had me up in front of the class and to find some state, I don't remember, and I couldn't find it. I had no idea where it was. And finally, she got so aggravated with me, she said, "Where's the United States?" You know, and I just took my point. She just was really disgusted, but other than that, I was okay. And,
But how many children were there in a class?
Well, I wouldn't even begin to know. I have no idea. But it was a big community, and this was a good area and a good community, and my kids loved it because when my kids were going to Fulton School, I lived on Mellon Street,
mm-hmm.
and at lunchtime, all the kids went home for lunch, and if they didn't want to come home, my daughter and her friend would come up here because this is where my mother and father live, and so they would come here for lunch. But grade school was okay, and then from there I went to Peabody.
Mm-hmm. Did grade school go up through sixth grade or eighth grade?
Eighth grade. And mm-hmm. then the ninth grade you went to Peabody,
mm-hmm.
and I wasn't real active in the school with anything. My extracurricular was that I guess I didn't do too much in high school, and I can't say that I enjoyed my high school days that much, and I don't really remember a lot about my high school days, because from there I went to Pitt, and I just loved it, and that's when I...
Mm-hmm. Do you remember what you took in high school? Did you know in high school you were going to go to college?
Oh, I knew I was going to go to college, sure.
Wasn't that unusual?
No, not for my generation. It was not unusual because we came from parents who just wanted education for everybody, and they did everything. All my friends went to college. We just went, took an academic course, and went, you know.
Of the kids who went to Peabody, what percentage of the girls do you think went to college? Do you have any idea?
No, I have absolutely no idea.
Did you take secretarial courses at all?
No.
Were there any offered?
Yes.
At school?
A lot of people took the commercial courses, and they took their typewriting and mm-hmm. Shorthand and what have you, but most of the Jewish children did not.
Were there a lot of Jewish kids?
Yeah.
Anybody?
There were a lot. I would say there were a lot more than there are now. The neighborhood has changed, but there was a large core of Jewish kids, and they either belonged to B'nai Israel or to Margretta Street, which is Adath Jeshurun,
mm-hmm.
or to Rodef. But mm-hmm. I would say most of the children in the area went to B'nai Israel.
Was there a youth group at B'nai Israel?
No, mm-hmm. no. I started a junior congregation when I was in college there, but there was no youth. It was, I would say the Sunday school was very poor, and the children didn't care. The parents sent them, but...
You mean things haven't changed that much.
I think things haven't changed that much, no. And I went to Pitt and graduated, with sociology as my major and psychology as my minor. And then I started to go to started to work on a master's. And I said, oh, I've had enough. So I quit, and I went to BTC, which was Business Training College,
mm-hmm.
run by the Finkelhors, Dorothy mm-hmm. and Herb Finkelhor. And for 6 months or 8 months or 9 months, I don't remember, you took a course and you learned your typing and shorthand. And then you got a job, and I worked as secretary. My first job was at Simon's Gear and Manufacturing Company down in the Strip.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, somebody coerced me to go to a job in McKeesport, Reliance Steel or something. And I went there for a while, and I hated it. And
why?
Well, I think I was doing things that I wasn't able to do well. I was doing a lot of, I was a secretary, but I was doing a lot of bookkeeping, which was not my forte at the time. Now I'm treasurer of everything because my husband taught me. But I didn't stay at Reliance Steel very long, and I left and took a job with J. Halpern Company, Julius Halpern. Mm-hmm. They were in the toys, wholesale toys, fireworks at that time. And
H-A-L-P-E-R-I-N?
No, H-A-L-P-E-R-N. And at Beth Sholem, you'll see the big sign outside their schoolroom, mm-hmm. the Julius Halpern Education Center or something. That was...
What did you do there?
I was secretary. And from there, I went to the United Jewish Fund.
And that was that when?
Well, let's see. I don't know how long I worked for the fund, at least... It was during the war. Before the war, I went to the fund, I think. It was during the war that I was there. I don't know how long I worked. All I know is when I got engaged, my husband said, go in tomorrow and give your notice.
How did you feel about that?
I felt wonderful. It isn't like today. My daughter often says to me, Mother, I just can't understand you. Why did you quit your job when you got married? I said, we all did. Nobody, no woman worked, you know, got married. That was about the stupidest thing you ever did, she tells me. But I did. I quit, and I was glad.
Tell me about your, working for the UJF.
I was secretary to the director
mm-hmm.
of UJF.
Who was
it? It was Arthur. When I went there, it was Arthur Rosicham, Rosicham. And I loved it there. We worked on 4th Avenue up in a building, and half the building was for the United Jewish Fund, and the other half, with Dr. Maurice Taylor at the head, was the United Jewish Federation. It was two different organizations at the time. They worked together, but they each had their separate areas of work.
And what was the area that the fund...
The fund was the campaign and raising money, and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a year-round job, you know, getting the money in, getting prepared for the next year, and it was a big job. And the Federation did, I guess, the agencies,
mm-hmm.
the Home for the Aged, Jewish Home for Babies and Children at that time, and all of that.
Who were some of the major donors at that time?
Oh, the Falks, the Cans, Stanley Can, Gus Can.
How do you spell that?
K-A-N-N. And of course, you know, the Leon Falk family, and I don't know, all the Jewish names. They, you know, the gifts weren't as great that then as they are now.
Well, what was considered a major gift then?
Oh, I guess 5,000, but not like it is today. And it was interesting, and we were all, as I said, on the same floor. They had one big boardroom, whether it was the UJF board meeting or the Federation. They all used the same typewriters and mimeo machines and dictating machines and all that.
Was it difficult during the war to get people to raise money for Jewish things?
Well, there wasn't, no, but as I said, the gifts weren't great. I mean, mm-hmm. We went out on a great campaign, I remember, for everybody to give a dollar, 52 dollars, what would that be, a dollar a week, 52 weeks, yeah, I couldn't think, and that was big, if you gave $52, you know, and it was interesting, but everybody worked, a lot of women in the office worked because their husbands were in the service,
mm-hmm.
and they didn't have a campaign chairman as such. Mm-hmm. During the campaign, they'd bring someone in from the United Jewish Appeal in New York,
mm-hmm.
who would help run the campaign, and we had a lot of volunteers. Mrs. Falk, Mrs. Kitty Falk,
mm-hmm.
at the time, was the chairman of the women's division,
mm-hmm.
and she would work in the office. I mean, she would come every day, and I guess the women today do the same thing because I'm active in UJF, and the chairman get there every day. We had a lot of volunteers, and I guess that's the way it will always be, but even now I'm chairing one of the divisions, and I had a call workers yesterday. Everybody I called started out with, ugh.
What division are you chairing at the moment?
This year I'm chairing the 300 to 500 division, 300 to 499.
Mm-hmm. Did you actively raise funds at that time when you were secretary?
No, I sure did. Yeah, I sure did. I would go to...
How did you do it? That's what I...
Yeah. There was no telephoning. You went from door to door.
Mm-hmm.
And you just solicited funds and told your story. And actually, you know, we're coming back to that because now they don't want you to get any... they don't want to do any phone solicitation. They know that there has to be phone solicitation, but they're really trying to train the workers to do face-to-face solicitation. So that's really what we did. We knocked on doors. It's a little different. We told a whole story then.
Well, what would you say?
Oh, I don't remember. Whatever the story was, you know, everybody needs the money. People are poor, you know, same stuff.
Was there any knowledge or activities of what was happening in Europe at the time? Was there any fundraising for Europe, for European Jews?
You know what? I don't really remember. I really don't remember anything. I would tell you I'd be making it up because I don't remember. You got me when my memory is going kaput.
What year did you get married?
46.
So you worked there through the whole war.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go back to Pitt for a minute. Tell me what classes you took there.
I took...
What was required?
Well, I'm trying to think. Yeah. I guess I took a couple of English courses. I guess that was required. And I took sociology subjects,
mm-hmm.
you know, and... whatever was required, you know, you had a schedule of events. I don't really remember.
Do you remember any of your courses that might have stood out in your mind? Something?
No,
you said?
I just remember all the extracurricular activities.
How large were the classes?
They were large. They were all, you know, most of them were lecture classes. And
what buildings were there at the time?
I didn't have any classes in the cathedral. That's when it was being built. I had classes up in State Hall, up on the Belfield, Bayard Street. You know, we had all these buildings and we went to classes. I guess I think near the end, maybe in my senior year, we had something down at the cathedral. But
were there any dormitories?
There were sorority houses and fraternity houses.
Mm-hmm.
The people stayed there. I don't think there were dormitories. I think that they just rented, people from out of town rented rooms. And mm-hmm. The people from the small communities around, like Carnegie, you know, those areas, the kids commuted.
Was there a Hillel? Were there Jewish activities, specifically Jewish activities, at the time?
I don't recall any. I wasn't active in any of them. If there were, I don't think so.
What were the
we went
you were
to the Y,
in?
And on Belfield,
mm-hmm.
and you know,
what
I,
did you do there?
I can't separate myself because I was so active. Before and after graduation, I really can't separate my college days from immediate after. I really don't know, but I know that there were kosher meals served at the Y, but I don't know whether that was during my college days or right after, you know?
Mm-hmm.